as we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word. May we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, a few weeks ago, I arrived home from leading the Sunday service to find an email waiting for me. Now, in the service that morning, we had sung the song which includes the line, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord." And I had prayed using a phrase something like, "We want to wait on you this morning, Lord." And the person who emailed me had been struck by these phrases and was asking some questions about what we mean about this idea of waiting on God. Is it to be understood as serving the Lord, like a waiter would wait on someone? Or does it mean that we are saying that we have to wait for God because we depend on God for our renewal, for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Or perhaps to summarise the question in another way, are we waiting on God or are we waiting for God? You see the difference? Are we waiting on God or are we waiting for God? I thought those were some really interesting questions, and I actually quite enjoy it when I get home to find an email from someone who's been listening and thinking and wanting to explore further what we've been talking about in the service. And I replied to the email at the time. But when I was thinking about this morning's sermon and I read this passage from Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, I saw that phrase, "eagerly await." Eagerly await. And it seemed to me that that email conversation came back to me, and it seemed to me that we had the opportunity to explore some of the possible answers to those questions together. Particularly as in many ways 2020 has been a year of waiting. I don't know if you can remember back to like February, March sometime, there was this news of this kind of new virus that started to kind of trickle in, and we waited to see what kind of impact it was going to have on our lives. And in the lockdowns, lockdown 1 and lockdown 2.0, we've been waiting to get out. We've been waiting for vaccines to be developed. We've been waiting to see what kind of Christmas we're going to be able to have with our families. Many of us are waiting to see loved ones, friends and family. Some of us haven't seen for months, particularly perhaps if folk are in care homes. We've had months of waiting. And to be honest, it looks like there are at least a few months of waiting still ahead of us. And in the church's year, the season of Advent has always been one of waiting. We remember the way in which the promises of God, we remember the way in which the people of God were waiting for the promises of God to be fulfilled. This morning we've already talked about, we're particularly remembering the matriarchs and the patriarchs, the ancestors of Jesus, to whom these promises were made and who looked forward in faith to when they'd be fulfilled. But they had to wait. Abraham and Sarah had to wait many decades into old age beyond all reasonable hope for their waiting for a son, for the promised son, Isaac, to be delivered to them. We remember Mary and Joseph as they waited for the imminent arrival of a new son. Conceived in miraculous circumstances, with angelic visits and big promises. And that couple not only had the normal 9 months slowly swelling wait of pregnancy, but also the wait to see how all those promises that the angels made would be fulfilled. And as well as looking back in Advent, we look forward as well to Jesus' return. We bring to mind our own waiting. As we look forward to Jesus' return, we remind ourselves and each other to be alert, to be ready, to eagerly wait for that return when Jesus will come and put everything right. So what does it mean to eagerly wait for Jesus? What might we learn from our experience of waiting this year? And what might our experience of waiting for Jesus have to teach us about our waiting for other things? The first thing I'd like us to notice, I'd like to draw our attention to in that reading from 1 Corinthians, are the bookends, the introduction and the conclusion. You see, eager waiting is in the middle, in verse 7. It's right there in the middle. But where do we start and where do we finish? We start with this. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we end with, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think this is true of everything we do in our Christian life. We are surrounded, we begin and end. We are surrounded by the grace, peace, faithfulness, call, and fellowship of God. The grace, peace, faithfulness, call, and fellowship of God. And so how might those things, knowing that we're surrounded by those things, help us in our waiting, I wonder? Grace. Now, I know it's a bit corny, and I have said it before, and I will say it again, but I love a phrase that I think sums up grace perfectly. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. We have been saved, adopted into God's family, made heirs of the kingdom of God completely freely, with Jesus having paid the price with his death on the cross. Such grace has been shown to us. And reflecting on this grace and inhabiting it, living within it, that frees us to show that grace towards others, to sacrifice, to absorb their pain, to forgive. Peace. As the Holy Spirit works in us, so the fruit of the Spirit grow in us. And one of those fruit is peace. And as we open our hearts to the peace of God, so I believe we can be at peace in our waiting. Now, that isn't an easy thing, and I don't want to minimize the challenges of living with deep anxiety and fear that we sometimes have no control over. But I do believe that God's peace can fill us and help us as we face those anxieties and fears. And that is because of God's faithfulness. I believe that God is faithful. We see it in Scripture, in the fulfillment of those promises to Abraham and Sarah and the other ancestors of Jesus. We see it in the whole history of the people of God, all the way through from creation, through to Jesus, through to Jesus' birth and ministry and life and death and resurrection and ascension, God's faithfulness working out in human history. And then we see it in the Holy Spirit being given to the church and the church growing over the centuries. And we see it in our own lives. God is faithful, reliable and trustworthy. Whatever else happens, God will work all things for the good of those who love him. and call. We are called by God. God has prepared good works for each of us to do, every single one of us. Each of us has a vocation. We are where we are. We might not like where we are, and actually more than that, it might be deeply uncomfortable or even painful for us to be where we are. We may not be able to see a way forward. Maybe we can't wait to get out of where we are. But we are where we are. And God is with us. And so as we wait, we can be looking and listening for the thing that God is calling us to do and to be now, here. And that is a step on the path towards what God is calling us to be and to do in the future. Fellowship. English is a bit of a problematic language in some ways. It only has one word for you. Lots of language, other languages have two. And Greek's one of those. There is you singular, you individual, and you plural. I guess the closest we get to, in American, they can say y'all. I shouldn't try an American accent. I should have Nick here. I should have a bit of video, Nick saying y'all. Maybe in English we could say you lot for you plural. So, in this bit of 1 Corinthians, Paul uses that plural word. So to translate it, perhaps, God has called you lot into fellowship with his son. We don't wait alone. We wait together in the body of Christ. We have been made members of one body. That's a fact. As followers of Jesus, we do not have a choice about that. The only thing we can choose is how we relate to one another in this body that we have been made into. And I know that at the moment, fellowship is harder than normal to realize, to make solid. It's one of the things that we're waiting for, to be able to meet again, to see each other, to see that fellowship. But even when we can't see it, it is still real. And we may be tired and got a bit fed up of Zoom and all that kind of stuff, but I believe that we do need to continue to find and use new ways of expressing and strengthening our fellowship as we wait together. Phone calls, letters, garden visits, perhaps even those Zoom calls. Fellowship. So, with all that in mind, what does it mean to do what Paul commends, to wait eagerly for Jesus to be revealed? I wonder if circling back to that question that came in that email might help us to think about this. Do we wait for Jesus or do we wait on Jesus? And it seems to me that the answer to this question is yes. We do both. Eager waiting is both waiting on and waiting for. Eager waiting is both waiting on and waiting for. Psalm 123, verse 2 says this: as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy upon us. As the eyes of servants look to the hand of the master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he has mercy upon us. And it seems to me that in that verse, that we see what it means to wait eagerly, attentively, actively. We see it all the way through Scripture in different ways, but I feel like this verse summarizes it. As God's servants, we watch God's hand. We go where we're sent. We stand where we're put. We do what we're instructed to do. We are waiting on God. We are not just sitting back, passively waiting for God. But we are waiting for God. There are some things we can't do. We can't solve everything on our own. We have things to do, but we cannot do the things that only God can do. We are waiting for God to have mercy on us and those around us. We are waiting for Jesus to return. We are waiting for God to fulfill all those promises. We depend on the Holy Spirit. And in all our waiting, we welcome him to work in and through us so that we may keep firm to the end and be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.